Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
So we have been talking about the heart, what we're centering our lives around, and your heart is everything, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So, your heart is what you center your life around. What you think about the most, what you talk about the most, that's where your heart is. And out of the heart comes the issues of your life. So everything comes out of your heart. So that's why we want to understand how the heart works. And so we've been looking at, last week we looked at a heart that was deceived. So we don't want to have a deceived heart. And the solution was to abide in His Word. Jesus said, if you abide in My Word, John 8:31 and 32, if you abide in My Word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free to be what? Free to be who God created you to be. And really, that's what we're all longing for, is to be who we are. Some of us don't even realize that, but that's really what's happening. We want, God is calling you to be the real you. To be the best you. Now, we don't want to be caught up being someone else. We want to be who God created us to be. Amen? And that's really what God is doing. And so, we talked about a deceived heart, and we've been talking about envy, and we've been talking about confusion, and how that can play a role in giving you a deceived heart. And so we're gonna touch that again this weekend. This idea of envy and the solution to envy. The solution to envy is love. The love of God in your heart. Because if you have envy in your heart, it's going to come out. And it can bring confusion. Because envy is really a selfish ambition. It's selfish ambition. And selfish ambition means strife. It means strife. So where there's strife or selfish ambition, there's every evil work. It produces confusion. See that? Now think about this. I was studying this week, and the word confusion means mentally uncertain. Get a hold of this. It also means disorder and to riot. To riot. How many of you have been seeing riots on TV? People rioting, they don't even know what they're rioting about. How many times in a family the strife get in there and they're blowing a gasket, they don't even know what's going on. They couldn't even tell you why they're really arguing. They just want what they want when they want it. That's confusion. That comes from envy. You can trace it back. It comes from envy. It causes division. It will divide you if you don't get it out of your heart. Or am I making sense? This is huge. So when we understand this, life is sweeter. Life is sweeter. Because when you operate in the love of God, it produces power. And that's the solution. We're going to talk about it today. The solution to envy is the love of God. And this is going to help you. All right? So, go with me to our foundational scripture. And we're going to look at this. To build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, the Holy Spirit is always bound to peace. That's why that's in our vision. So where there's peace, there's power. See, there's power. There's no confusion. Remember? In 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Author. He has the authority in peace. In other words, he has the authority where there's peace. See, he has no authority where there's confusion. Because you brought it. You're doing that to yourself. You're trying to do your own deal. You see that? He cannot bring his authority in where there's confusion. But where there's peace, he's ruling. That's his kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So that's what the church, what if we all had this walking in this peace? I'll tell you what, we'd turn some Sydney upside down. Am I making sense? And that's what we're called to do. All right, let's look at this. Now give me the scripture, okay? The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. Father, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for the peace that you give when we yield to you and your Holy Spirit. Lord, we speak peace over us today. Now, Lord, just calm our hearts, remove anything that we brought in here today. Just let us have peace, Lord, right now to receive from you today in the name of Jesus. All the busyness of the week, all the busyness of getting here, now we're just going to trust you, Lord. Speak to our hearts by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right. So, the Lord tests the hearts, remember? So if he's testing the hearts, how's that work? Every day you wake up, you have three enemies against you. The world, the flesh, and the devil. See that? The world, the flesh, and the devil. So, when you understand that, you're going to begin to say, Holy Spirit, I need you today. He wants you dependent on him. From the get-go. From the time you wake up in the morning, he wants you dependent on him. You see, when you're walking around complaining and murmuring about what's going on at work or about what's going on in your family, or you're just complaining, that's about you. That's your agenda. See that? But when you're in the love of God, you're concerned for other people. And that's what God wants. He wants you to be concerned for other people. And that's what love does. Love is always prefers and considers others above itself. Love is campaigning for others. See that? Envy is campaigning for yourself. See this? All right. We're going to look again at James chapter 3. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts. So now think about this. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart. Self-seeking, remember, is strife. So what's the meaning of strife? Here's what strife means. A political spirit. Catch this. A political spirit and party spirit. So in other words, when you have strife, it's your agenda that you're campaigning for. You're trying to get your agenda out there. Am I making sense? That's what it is. You're on a mission to get your will done and what you want. Making sense? So this is what we got to understand. But when we're in the love of God, whose agenda are we now promoting? God's agenda. See? That's what love does. Love promotes God's agenda and God's kingdom. Now, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. So here's what we're talking about. This wisdom is the conventional wisdom, man's wisdom. You can't fulfill God's will and purpose in your life doing man's wisdom. You need God's wisdom. You and I, if we're going to fulfill God's plan and purpose in our life, we need God's wisdom. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1:5 that God knew you and me before we were even in our mother's womb. And in 1 Corinthians 1:7 and 8, it says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." 1 Corinthians 2:7 and 8. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." Glory means what God originated and intended. For whose glory? Our glory. When we receive that wisdom from God, we're finding out who we are. We need that wisdom to fulfill God's call and plan on our life. See that? To help us to be what He originated and intended us to be. When we get that wisdom, now we're becoming who God created us to be. You see that? You can't get that from man's wisdom. See this? So this is why we need to grow and understand. We need to grow and mature and understand the love of God. It takes time. It takes time, and it's a process, and it's development, okay? Now, let's look at this. Give me, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." See, you walk into a house where there's strife, you know, people yelling and screaming at each other, fighting, and they can stop. You can still feel the presence of something else in there. See that? That's what that's talking about. Now look at this. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure." Now we're talking about receiving God's wisdom. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now we're receiving the wisdom from God. And He says that wisdom is first pure. And this word pure, remember, it's the word catheter, the Greek word catheter, which is what they give you. They put a catheter in you when you are in the hospital. You have to go to the hospital, and they say you're septic. It means you can't eliminate. So they help you with that by putting a catheter in, and it removes toxins and poisons out of your body. And so that's really what trials and struggles and adversity does. It causes you to be dependent on God and get the pure wisdom of God. You see that? And it's the love of God. That's what it is. It's the love of God. Pure. It's first pure. Talking about motives. What's your motive here? What's your motive for what you're doing? That's what it's looking at. What's your motive? Why do you do what you do? That's what God's looking at. Your motives. See, envy is always self-motivated. But now when it's pure wisdom, it's God-motivated. See, you are in a political party for God's agenda when it's the love of God. You see that? You're promoting His will, His kingdom. And it's done through the unconditional love of Christ. Amen? So, I'm telling you, you can see this. You can see this in our society. Now, I was watching the news the other day, and, I think it was Thursday. When did they honor that guy? Friday. Friday, they honored this gentleman. His last name was Thomas. And, on the 11th. They honored him with a medal. And he was a ranger in the military. And he was in his high school year, the year that the Twin Towers were attacked. He was 17 years old, a senior in high school. The teacher walked in the class and said, "We've just been attacked. They've just attacked New York, in New York, the Twin Towers. We are being attacked." And he said, it rose up in his heart, "I'm going to have to take a stand for my country, and I'm going to serve my country." From that moment on, he got into the service. He got it. He became a ranger and a sniper. And our president was honoring him because he went into an ISIS stronghold, whatever you want to call it. And they had dug all these graves for these people because they were going to kill these people and put them in these graves. He went in, got all them 75 prisoners out, and killed all 20 of those ISIS criminals. You don't hear about ISIS killing people anymore. Our government took them out. Listen. But I listened to that story, and I was weeping. I was weeping. Our president was honoring him. That took courage to do that. He's only 36 years old. And he said he had to do it. It wasn't even an option. There wasn't one speck of envy in that. Are you listening to me? Not a speck. That was totally for other people. Are you getting that? And our president was honoring him. Now listen. Now, I was moved. You need to watch it. You can probably watch it on Google or whatever. But now here comes the leader in our government from the other side, the left. And she's a woman. I'm not going to tell you who it is because I don't want to get political up in here. But anyways... She says, "Oh, yeah, he's honoring the... He's doing all that. He should have been... I'm paraphrasing. He should have been finding a cure for the coronavirus, all these people." I thought, "You..." I thought, "My goodness. I don't think they realize... I mean, you can get so far off, you don't realize how ignorant you look. Are you listening to me? Am I making sense?" That's what envy will do to you. Are we making sense? That's why you got to get it out of your heart. It's everywhere, isn't it? And you know, we all have it in us. You know, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to confess something. I had it in me.
"Well, you're the pastor."
Huh. I had it in me. I would go to these conferences every year, these big churches. All these people coming, growing, exciting. I come back here, we were struggling. I had this for that property. I was going to build a big church like I was going to, visiting. That was envy in me. I was trying to do what I thought needed to be done. Still love me? That's envy. I wouldn't have known it until I started studying this. I mean, I started really studying this, and the Holy Spirit showed me, and he said, "You need to tell the people." I probably wouldn't have told you if he didn't tell me to. But that's the way it works. And now we sold that property, and we're in better shape than we've ever been. And the best is yet to come. Are you with me? I didn't have the development to handle what I was thinking about over there. Personally. Sometimes your aspirations are so profound, you don't have the development to handle what you're aspiring. Am I making sense? That's the way it is. God wants development. He wants it out of His love. And He wants it to be campaigning for Him and Him only. See that? That's why He says, unless the Lord builds the house, it's built in vain. The word vain means empty, like a bubble that bursts. When you build something in your own way and what you think and it's not from God, that's what it is. Empty. And when you're empty and bored, guess what? Now you get competitive. And now you start to confabulate. And now envy rises up in you. See that? Are you still glad you came to church today? This is how it works. But folks, listen. God calls you and I to receive His wisdom and apply His wisdom and fulfill His plan and purpose in our life. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not... what?
Envy.
Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Give me the next one. Love does not behave rudely. You know, I was last week after the service, I was going to take my granddaughter shopping because I really haven't had time to take her and have some time with her this summer. So I said, stop everything you're doing. Take her and go get some school clothes and hang out and just talk and pick up where we left off. Because I used to spend so much time with her when I was by myself, and I planted a lot of seeds in her, you know. So I always like to connect. And so anyways, after that service, I was going to pick her up last week. So I'm driving. I'm in the car, and I'm driving. You know how you get on the freeway? Right over here on Wapakoneta, right there. So I was had my turn signal on, and somebody had already got on there. And there's that little piece of road that you wait, because if somebody's coming on to 75, you wait there until they come on and pass you, and then you get on. You yield. That's what I was doing. I was yielding. So if you don't yield, sometimes you'll get run over, won't you? So I was yielding, and I was behind this person that was already sitting there waiting. And so I pulled up behind that person, and us two are on there. And next thing I know, there's this guy in this truck, big old honking monster truck with big tire wheels, you know. He comes flying up on top of me, I mean, that far away from my car. And he looks me right down in my face, because, you know, he looks in my face, giving me this. He's letting me know I was number one. And just, I mean, cussing up a storm. Fire raging, just. You know what I did? I thought, this is something. I said, I just looked, the way was clear. I said, got on. I had peace. Are you listening to me? That was strife. Yeah. Up there in his own car. I remember a time, Derek, that was back in high school. I'd have probably jumped out of my car and said, "You want a piece of this?" Yeah. Am I making sense? That was before Christ. Maybe a little early on, even after Christ. No. But I couldn't believe it. You know what? I'm telling you the gospel truth. That was demonic. Trying to attack me to get me in a tizzy so I contaminate where I'm going. Am I making sense? That's real. And then, you know what? I actually thought I probably should have got out and started witnessing to him. I remember one guy I witnessed to in the New Life Health Spa had his fist in my face. And then he told me not to ever share the gospel with him. But I kept sharing the gospel with him. I invited him over for dinner. He ended up coming to Christ and went to Bible school. Cussing me out. If I see that guy again, we'll see if he goes to Bible school. Maybe not, but who knows? Am I making sense? You see, when you have peace, you have authority. You have rule over your own. You know, you don't have to retaliate. You don't have to get someone told. You don't have to get the last word in. See that? When you blow a gasket, that's your agenda. That's you doing what you want, and God's not in it. All right. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Give me the next one. Verse 6. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices where? In the truth. So now think about that. Love rejoices in the truth, doesn't rejoice in iniquity. What's iniquity? Iniquity is a pattern that's been passed on to you from your fathers, grandfathers, far back as 3 and 4 generations. It could be a pattern of lying. It could be a pattern of addiction. It could be a pattern of temper. It could be a pattern, any kind of pattern that's caused you to be stuck in sin. See that? Love does not rejoice in those patterns, but it rejoices in the truth. When you get the truth in that area, now you're free to be who God created you to be. That's why it says in Psalms 91, "Because you've set your love on me, says the Lord, I will deliver you. I will set you on high because you have known my name. When you call up on me, I will answer. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. With long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation." When you're in His love, He's protecting you.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.